Word of God, friends, is still on offer here. Friday's Stafford, copy of God's Word offered to you, really, and without any cost or any obligation to you. You'd like to have one, do feel free to come and take one. That's all you have to do. It's an invitation and, of course, a free offer. It's the only one in Stafford today, any day for that matter. Word of God, which is powerful and, of course, got the ability to transform and to make men and women new creatures in Jesus Christ. That is, of course, if you receive it. That is, of course, if you believe it. That is, of course, if you embrace the one of whom it testifies to. And that is, of course, the Son of God who came into the world to rescue sinners, people like yourself, you personally. He loved you that much that he was willing to leave the warmth of heaven and come down into this cold, cold, cursed world, that people such as yourself might be saved, might get your heart warmed, you know, and get a love for Jesus and for God in your soul, that which you have not at the moment, but of course are invited to receive in the reception of the gospel, those that is who believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Command is believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and the promise is you shall be saved from your most certain and known danger, that of your sinful heart, that is of your sinful state and condition, which, friends, will not only destroy you in mind and body, but your soul eternally if you are not saved. So if you'd like to have a copy of God's Word freely offered to you here today, yours to take and yours to do with as you will, freely offered, freely received. Read and see, these things of which I speak to you are indeed so, according that is to God's precious and holy Word. Bible, it says, a reading for this afternoon here in Stafford is this. Matthew chapter 22 verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. When, of course, Jesus speaks about people being called, it's an invitation to his wedding feast. An invite that is from the Son of God. An invite into the kingdom of God, relationship with God, to be married, if you like, to your Maker. That's what the word call signifies. It's an invitation. Many are invited, and doubtless if you were invited to a friend's wedding, oh, no doubt you would have no doubt in your mind as to that you would receive it. And here is one who would be a friend who sticks closer than a brother, the best friend that you could possibly have, and invites you to his wedding feast. Many, he says, are called and invited, but few are chosen. And of course, the word many signifies a great number. For so it is, as the gospel goes out into the world, even today, the world over. Many, many people hear the call of God, hear the call of the Son of God, the invitation, that is to be right with God, to have their sins forgiven, to be removed from their unrighteous state and condition, made right before God. That's the invitation. To be clothed in the righteousness, revealed righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Many, many people are called. Many hear the invitation, but few, very few are chosen. I wonder if you'll be one of those. Chosen, of course, signifies an acceptance and approval. But of course, it's God's acceptance, not yours. God's approval that you need, not yours. And of course, the only way that a man, a woman can receive the acceptance, approval of God is, of course, if God so favors them. God chooses them, as Jesus said to his disciples on one occasion, "You did not choose me, I chose you." It's not in your power to become a Christian. It's not in your power to be made righteous. It's not in your power to save yourself. It is God's doing, you see. You must, as Jesus puts it, you must be born again of God. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man or woman, but of God, you see. It's God's doing, it must be, because there is nothing that you and I can do to make ourselves right with God, to make ourselves Christians. Righteous, that is, before God. And of course, here is the bottom line. Here is what you need to be saved from, because if you're not called and chosen, well, the end of that is for you to be bound, tied up, that is, and cast out into outer darkness, as says the Lord Jesus Christ. Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, today they're sneering. Today there's mockery. Today there's neglect and rejection. Today there's no concern and no thought about God, about God and His salvation. But then, of course, then when the end comes, then when the day comes, the day of God's visitation, and you're found not clothed in the righteousness of the Son of God, then there will be not sneering, not mocking, then there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth as you are cast out into outer darkness. So, many are called and few are chosen. How is it that men are called? Well, through the proclamation of the gospel. What I do here today and each and every Friday, foolishness to you, that's the proof, says God, that you're on the pathway to perdition. You're on the pathway, that is, to hell's damnation, if you see the proclamation of the gospel as being foolishness, because that's the means. That's the means that God has appointed to call men and women out of the darkness of their sinful nature and into His kingdom of righteousness, glory, power, and salvation. So what's your attitude to the preaching of the gospel to those who are being saved? It's the power of God. It's the means by which God calls men and women to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. They hear the call. They hear God's voice in the preaching of the gospel, not just a man's voice, but they hear the word of God. They hear the invitation. And it's an invitation, of course, that they just cannot refuse when God's in it. When they hear, that is, the voice of God in the proclamation of the Word of God. And you ask any Christian you like, and they'll tell you how it was for them. That they too heard the call, and they could do nothing but obey the call. the day of God's power, you see. God, He makes man willing, that is, to receive, to believe, to repent, and of course to be made right with God. Many are called, you see, the world over today, wherever the gospel is proclaimed, whether it be in cities and towns, street corners, whether it be in church buildings, it matters not. But wherever the word of God is being proclaimed, men and women, not so many in Stafford seems to be caught in the trap of apostasy, of unbelief, hard-heartedness, steel-hearted men and women, is all we seem to find in Stafford. What will become of you? I don't know, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish, as Jesus says. Unless you get rid of those stony steel hearts of yours, unless they get melted, unless there's tears of repentance, unless there's a brokenheartedness with you, well, the day's coming, bound hand and foot, cast out into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth then. So friends, God calls, will you obey? Many are called, but few are chosen. But the world over, in many, many places, lands far off, men and women are hearing the proclamation of the gospel, the preaching of God's word, and they find it to be exactly what it is, the power of God unto salvation, bringing them to a salvation from their sin, from their sinful state and condition, and brought to the forgiveness of God, the cleansing away of their sin, a changing of their hearts, of their natures, made children of God by the power of God, and of course clothed in the righteousness of God. Many come through the reading of God's word. One of the reasons why, and the only reason why, I offer you a copy of God's written word, the Bible. Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And for some people, of course, it's the reading of God's word. It clears the mind, you know. It drives out the foolishness, the foolish notions of unbelief. The foolish notion that there is no God. The word of God, you see, it has the ability, it says, to make a person, a body, wise for salvation. Wisdom, not so much cleverness. Sometimes I think to myself, it's the cleverness that's the problem. You know, you're far too clever, you know. Far too smart, you know. You learn all this stuff in your schools, colleges and universities about the origin of the species, lies and nonsense. You're indoctrinated with it, and you come out of these establishments, you come through the education system thinking that you're so clever and so smart, and God says you're so dumb. You're so dumb and foolish. The fool says in his heart there is no God. But it's the word of God that will change not only your mind but your heart and your eternal destination. It's the word of God that is able to impart wisdom to you, drive that notion of cleverness out of your mind and bring you to a humility before God. Because unless you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, I tell you, you'll perish. You exalt yourself before God, and God will humble you. He will bring you down. But you humble yourself, God will in due time exalt you. So the word of God, you see, that's why I offer you a copy of the written word of God, start and finish. Because it is powerful, all powerful. It's the word of Jesus Christ, who tells us that all authority in heaven and earth is given unto Him. He has the power, and He alone has the power to save. And the written word of God, the Bible, is about him. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, says Jesus. It's where you go to find him. It's where you go to find eternal life. You don't find it in the Quran. That's dead works. You don't find it in the encyclicals of some pope. That's dead works too. It's a living Savior that you need. One who's alive and alive forevermore, the risen, all-conquering Jesus Christ. In here, in the Word of God, is the Word of salvation. And through the written Word of God, many, many are called, but few are chosen. Some, of course, it's the proclamation of the gospel. Some, it's the reading of God's word, the written word of God. And some, it's Christian conversation. You know, a Christian man, a Christian woman tells you of their experience, how God saved them, of the wretchedness of their life and condition, how wretched they were in sin, how miserable they were in sin. And of course, when they came to that place of acknowledging their wretchedness, of acknowledging what they were truly like, you know, they came out of the self-deception, you know, no longer trying to fool themselves that they were no God, no longer trying to deceive themselves, you know, that they were okay, you know, that they were good people. Or they might have been church going, they might have been a smattering of religion, and they lived all their lives just like you, thinking that they were okay, no harm, no danger, I'm okay, I'm respectable, I'm a good person, until that is, God showed them their vile hearts. That they were just like all men, deceitful and desperately wicked, living in self-deception, suppressing the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness and wickedness. And then, of course, God opened their eyes to see the truth and their hearts to believe and to receive the truth. And how God saved them, how Jesus saved them, how Jesus changed their hearts, gave them the gifts of repentance and faith. They'll tell you, a Christian in personal conversation, you ask them, and as they testify to you, you're being called yourself. So many, many come to faith in Jesus Christ and salvation and the righteousness of God by the conversations. You see, of Christian people who testify of the salvation that they found and how that you too can be saved, how you too can be born again, because you must be. And they'll tell you, of course, where it began for them, where it begins for every Christian, not the church building necessarily. I'll tell you where it begins for every Christian, beneath the cross of Jesus. That's where. The cross, where the Son of God bled and died for sinners, like you. They came to a realization. They look and they see the Son of God in all his love and grace and beauty. And realizing that he came all the way from heaven to die on that cross for them. He loved them so much that he was willing to endure that suffering and that death in order that they might be saved. They tell you the realization of that. It cannot but change anyone's heart. How can you know? How can you see that? How can you come to the reality of that and not be changed? The hardest hearts, I tell you, have been changed. The vilest of men and women, the filthiest of men and women, have been changed by the power of that love of Jesus Christ for their souls. But that's how many are called, you see, but few are chosen. Many, many are called, you see, through the Christian testimonies of men and women who testify to the grace of God and how it has come to them. Called but not necessarily chosen. Well, it depends what you do with it. You know, when you are called, when you hear the gospel, you know, if it's like yourself, you know, you just walk on by and it's nothing to you that the Son of God should leave heaven, you know, suffer, bleed and die and rise again from the dead so that you might be called out of the darkness. You know, if you're totally oblivious to it, you know, if you couldn't care less as you appear to do, well then, you know, no surprise, you know, few are chosen in Stafford today, at least anyway. But then, of course, saved, you know, the providential means of God. God has many means by which, of course, He can call a man or woman out of their sin and into His marvelous light, out of their darkness and into the righteousness of God, in the providence of God. I guess that God could bring about your salvation, you know, causing you to hear the gospel.
There is no such a thing as God. Anybody with a common sense could tell you that. Secondly, religion is a slavery.
You know that, sir. No, slavery, sin, sir. That's what you are. Yeah? Come and talk to me. Huh? You haven't got the bottle? Haven't you got the courage? Well, come and justify what you just said. Huh? Well, justify there isn't. How did you get here? How was it made then? Who made it? Who made it?
Where does he live?
Well, who made it?
Yeah.
Who made it?
Who made it?
God made it. And you know that. And you knew that. You know that, sir. You know that God is. He's shown it to you. He's made it plain to you. You clearly understand it, sir. You're suppressing the truth in unrighteousness.
He's just not looking.
Blind, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
You're doing a very, very good job.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Sorry.
We agree with that 100%. We go to church.
Yeah, good. What church are you at?
We're at Bethbury, originally.
I don't know that, right? Okay.
It's under the Moriel banner.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Moriel?
No, I haven't.
Well,
no.
Moriel and Zarephath Ministries are very good. You'd like Ken Ham.
Oh, yeah, good.
Can you
No, it's okay. I'm okay. I'm good.
Sure.
Yeah, I've got another one here somewhere. But I just want to give you one of these. Have a.
Hi, Jamie, at the bottom.
There you go. Have a listen to that.
I will.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I will.
God bless you.
God bless you. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure thing.
I'll be praying.
Sure.
For
yes,
you.
Please. Yeah.
The first thing that someone who doesn't believe, they will say, "Oh, I can't believe this bad stuff happening."
Yeah.
All this blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
But then the first thing they say is, "Why did God make it there?" But if they don't believe, how can they say that?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, get it all the time. Yeah. Thanks very much. Have a good day. Yeah. Have a good, and you too. So you see, the call, friends, you know, it's a call. Many are called, but few are chosen. The call, friends, is, you know, from, it's to repentance, you know. Repentance from sin, because, you see, without repentance, that's the first step. Repentance and faith, you know, the two go together. Jesus says, in another place, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The two always go together. You can't separate them. Faith and repentance. Repentance and faith, they're always yoked together. And that's the call. Many are called, but few are chosen. Called to repent. Because except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, says Jesus, in another place. Repentance is essential. You see, what is repentance? Let the wicked forsake his way, his pattern of living, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. Cataclysmic, radical change within. Forsaking your unrighteous thinking, embracing God's holy, righteous thinking, which of course brings about the change in the practice. Because here's the thing, you see, born in sin, conceived in sin, with sinful natures and sinful practices, that's every man, woman and child born into this world. That's what it means to be ungodly. Contrary to God in your nature and contrary to God in your practice. Come and talk to me, sir, instead of growling. Come and talk to me instead of growling, sir. Repent and believe the gospel. Go and wash that mouth out with soap and water.
Vinegar and diesel.
If you like. If you like. Repentance, you see, from sin. The sin has to be forsaken. You can't have your sin and have God too. You can't have sin and have righteousness. You can't have sin and have Jesus too. It must be forsaken. It must be abandoned. It must be renounced. There must be not a perfect, nobody's perfect, we know that, and neither is the Christian, and neither do we profess to be so. No, we are far, far from perfect. Just forgiven, that's all. Just forgiven because there has been a fundamental repentance from sin. And that's the call. Many are called to repentance, but few are chosen. Few are chosen. Maybe because they don't like the idea of abandoning their sin. Maybe they don't like the idea of abandoning, forsaking their darling lusts. You know? Maybe what is it that keeps you from the kingdom of God? What is it that keeps you from the righteousness of God? Some sin that you're in love with? Some sinful relationship that you're involved in because of the cost, maybe? What it is that you would have to forsake in order to be a Christian? But unless you forsake all, says Jesus, you cannot be my disciple. Many are called, you see, but few are chosen. It's a call to reject your rejection. Your rejection of Jesus Christ. Your rejection of the invitation. Your rejection of God's call to repent and believe the gospel. How many times have you rejected? How many times have you heard the gospel? As many times as you've heard. As many times as you've heard the word of God, whatever the context might be. Might have been at a friend or a relative's funeral. And you heard the vicar, he might have been as dead can be, but he still read the word of God to you. As often as you've heard the word of God, you have been called. Many are called, but few are chosen. But hearing the word of God, you reject the word of God. And every time you reject the call, every time you reject the word of God, you crucify the Son of God afresh, all over again, every single time. So it's a call to reject your rejection of the word of God, the call of God. Cease from it. Stop from it. Rejecting the call of God, the invitation, the offer to salvation and to the righteousness of God. And what will you do with the call today as it comes to you? As God calls you, as the gospel is proclaimed amongst you here in Stafford once again, what will you do with it? Reject it once again? Accountability, dear friends, in that day I tell you, it will come back and bite you, because these very stones in front of me will testify in that day that you heard the gospel, that you heard the call of God, but you rejected. Every time that you rejected the call of God, it will be brought to mind in that day. And in fact, I will be there with you before the throne of God. And I will testify in that day that you heard the the call of God that you were called, but you did not receive the call. You rejected, you continue to reject the call of God upon your soul. It's a call to happiness, from misery, out of your misery and into happiness. Some of you tell me, well, I just want to be happy, that's all. I just want to live and I just want to be happy. Well, why don't you? Huh? Why don't you? Huh? Where's this happiness, this elusive happiness that you all say you want to be? Why do you spend so much days of your lifetime in absolute misery? There's not much happiness with you. You're getting ready for all the celebrations, I guess, you know. But I don't see much happiness on your faces. I don't see many happy people about in Stafford today or any day for that matter. Is it not true, as the saying goes, sin makes you miserable? She's as miserable as sin. He's as miserable as sin. Because that's what sin does, makes people miserable. You can't be sinful and be happy. The only way to happiness is to get rid of the cause of the unhappiness. The only way to be happy is to get rid of the sin, because that's the cause of the unhappiness. It's holiness that makes happiness. And you can't have holiness without Jesus, without the Son of God, without obeying the call of God. Many are chosen. Many are called, rather, but few are chosen to be happy. Happy in Jesus. Only way to be happy is to obey Jesus, to repent and believe the gospel, to obey the call of God upon your life, to repent and believe the gospel and enter the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of love, of grace and power. It's a kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom of happiness. Happiness belongs with holiness. Happiness is a call out of your miserable state and condition and sin into the happy holiness of God in Jesus Christ. Then, of course, ultimately it's a call to heaven from hell. Instead of having a hellish future, a heavenly future. Instead of ending up in a hellish hovel, a heavenly mansion. Two ways, friends, and two ends. The broad road, the broad pathway that Jesus speaks about, that multitudes and multitudes travel down. But the end of that, he says, is everlasting destruction. The narrow pathway, not so many, only a few. The chosen few travel that pathway. But that ends in eternal life, which will it be for you? Many are called, but few are chosen. Few are chosen and few end up on the narrow pathway. Few are willing to travel the narrow pathway with Jesus, but it ends in heaven instead of hell. Oh, there's something to be saved from, believe me. The consequences of sin. It's more than just a bad day. It's more than just about depression. It's more than just the misery that you have to endure now. Oh, there's more to come. Bound hand and foot, says Jesus, and cast into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity, everlastingly. That's the end of your refusal of the call of God in the gospel. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the many, they end up in that place, their eternal destination, the full, final, outworking consequence of their sin nature and sin practice. God would have you to know today that there is a penalty attached to your sin. Oh, you say, I love my sin. I know you do. That's why I'm here. Because you've got to learn to hate it. I love my sin. I don't want to let my sin go. I know you don't. But let me assure you, let me warn you. There's wrath now. The wrath of God is being revealed now against the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But then there's the wrath to come. There's death to come. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment, physical death. And then after that, the second death, as the Bible calls it, the lake of fire, the judgment of God, the full, final payment for your sin. The wages of sin is death. Eternal, everlasting death, and that's what you're exposed to, and that's why God calls you from that, from hell to heaven. Which will you choose? Which will it be? Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but don't you know many send their opportunity away? There's some people, you know, in this world never get to hear the gospel. If they did, do you know something? They would repent. They would repent. They would believe. Probably at the first hearing. And the Bible says, you know, that Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, filthy, dirty cities back in the Old Testament. Sodom and Gomorrah, they never had Bibles. But you know, the wrath of God fell on them. Burning silver fell from heaven and destroyed those cities because of their filthy, filthy practices, their ungodliness, their unrighteousness. And the Bible says, do you know this? The Bible says if Sodom and Gomorrah, if they'd had Bibles, if they'd heard the things that you hear, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes long, long ago. But you hear these things. You have the privilege. You hear the gospel. You have Bibles. You have churches. You have an access to the gospel that some people, Saudi Arabia, many other countries, don't have. You have the opportunity. You have the opportunity, you have the privilege of having the gospel, and yet you despise it and reject it. What do you think your end will be? If those nations who never hear the gospel are judged by God, what do you think God will do to you who have the gospel, who hear the gospel proclaimed to you on a regular basis? Many just simply send the opportunity away. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but refuse to listen. Stretch that hand to you all day long, says God, to a rebellious people, but you will have none of it. None of it. Refuse to listen. Stop your ears. Shout as you go by. Close your hearts. Refuse to listen. Friends, many are called, but few are chosen, and simply and only because they refuse to listen. Somebody was here playing music, twanging guitar strings, you know. If somebody stood their head in a bucket, you'd all be stood in a crowd, and you'd be throwing money at the person. That's how sensible, that's how rational, that's how reasonable you are. And yet God speaks to you through the proclamation of His Word, and you could not care less. Let alone listen. Let alone listen. You have not got the capability of standing and listening for 5 minutes in order that your eternal soul can be saved. That you can be delivered from the damnation of hell. I called. God will say to you in that day when you stand before His judgment throne, He will tell you, I called you again and again and again, but you would have none of it. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but they dislike the terms. They don't like the idea of having to forsake all. They don't like the idea of having to give up their sin, to give up their worldly pleasures. They don't like the idea, you know, of having to walk the narrow pathway with Jesus. Oh, that's too much to expect, you know. Well, if I could have the world and have Jesus, you know, if I could have my sin and have Jesus, that would be okay. But this business about repenting, this business about renouncing the world, this business about coming out from amongst wicked, evil people and being separate, well, that's far too much to ask, you know. Oh, Jesus will have you. God will have you. Believe me, today, God will have you. But on His terms, not yours. On His terms, not yours. And these are His terms in His Word. He's caused them to be written down so that you can read them and check them out for yourself. Only one way that you can be right with God. Only one way you can get to that wedding feast. You've got to be dressed in the right garments. You've got to have wedding garments on. You've got to have the righteousness of God. You've got to be clothed upon with the righteousness of God. Or you don't get in. Or you're cast out into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. Of course, the terms, the conditions then won't seem unreasonable. Oh, you say, this is unreasonable. This is totally unreasonable, you say, that I should have to give up my sin, that I should have to forsake the world, that I should have to follow Jesus, that I should have to renounce the world. That's unreasonable. That's too much to ask for. It won't seem like that. It won't seem like that in the outer darkness. It won't seem like that in hell. It won't seem like that when you're weeping and gnashing your teeth in hell's damnation. It won't seem like it then. These are not harsh terms. Not at all. The world lies in wickedness. The whole world lies in wickedness. The fact that you're in love with it is ungodliness, is sinfulness in itself. But unless you forsake it, unless you forsake all, says Jesus, you cannot be my disciple. Only God can make you such. Only God can cause you to be born again. Then the terms won't seem so bad to you. Only God can cause you to be born again. And Jesus says you must be born again. It's only then, of course, that you'll desire. You'll desire the terms and condition that God lays upon you. It's only then that you'll hear the call of God. It's only then that you'll obey the call of God. But God must. God must act. God must do something. You're hard. You're hard. Your hearts are trodden over by so many years of sin, impervious to the Word of God. Word of God just bounces off your hearts. They're like bricks, they're like stones. Unless God takes the heart of stone out of you and gives you a heart of flesh. Unless you're born again, the day will come when you'll wish you had never been born at all. Believe me, you must be born again. Only then will you hear the call of God. Only then will you like the call of God. Only then will you obey the call of God. But many, many are called. Many are called, but few are chosen. What about you? God's calling through the proclamation of His Word today. Calling, 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 come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Soon death will be calling. Soon death will be knocking on your door. Soon the grim reaper will be coming. He'll be calling. He'll be wrapping his slimy fingers around your soul and drawing it out of your body. And you'll be screaming, you know, I'm not ready to go yet. But you come. When he calls, you come. There's no staying it, there's no holding it back. Not a moment longer, not a day longer. Oh, just give me another day, you'll say, to get right with God. Just give me another hour. But no, when he calls, when he comes, death is coming. It's appointed for men once to die. After this, then comes the judgment. Oh, it's coming. God's calling today. When will death come calling? When will death come stealing? When will be your last day? Maybe today. Will he be knocking your door tonight? Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? You don't know what a single day will bring forth. How many people rise in the morning not knowing it's the last day? What if this is yours? And God's calling and you refuse to obey. You reject once again. Well, is that you, sir? You talking about yourself, sir?
No, I'm talking about you.
Oh, wash your mouth out, sir, with soap and water. Repent and believe the gospel. Like you say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, what's in the heart? God's calling, and that's all that he can say. Cussing and swearing and objecting and rejecting, and the end of that, cast out into outer darkness. Another drive-by heckler. Come and talk to me, young man. You got something to say? No, nothing. Nothing to say. Nothing to say. Full of hot air. So like you say, friends, you know, death comes calling. What then? What then, friends? Come unto me, says Jesus, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. The call comes to you once again. Will you come and not be cast out into outer darkness? God has given you everything, all that is necessary pertaining to your salvation. It's all to be found here in the Word of God. God's made provision for you, sending His Son into the world, His only begotten Son into the world, to die on a cross and rise again from the dead, that this salvation might be yours. Causing the gospel to be declared amongst you on a regular basis. Calling, 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 calling. But will you come? Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, I hope and pray for you. Regularly I do. That God would soften your hearts, melt your hearts, break your hearts, that God would bring you to that place of seeing how utterly undone you are, how impoverished you are, how weak, how impotent you are, and how you need God to come and do something with you and to you and in you by His grace. That in the hearing of the Word of God, that you might indeed hear the inward call of God in your soul, calling you out of this world, calling you out of the darkness, and calling you into His marvelous light and wonderful salvation. Well, friends, you offer the call. The invitation comes to you once again. What will you do with it? Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Repent and believe the gospel, says Jesus, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word. It's offered to you freely, without cost or obligation to you. You'd like one.